He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, February 5th live edition of the Best Stocks Now with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And some earnings reports here have got the market on its back feet here. So far today, we've got the Dow down 183, which puts the Dow at 44,373. Just below that resistance level of 45,000 that it's trying to chew its way through. The NASDAQ is down 129, mostly Google, AMD, the two big losers in the market today. The NASDAQ is at 19,524. The S&P 500, the benchmark that most people watch, down 44 basis points right now. Down 26 points. It's still above 6,000 at 6,011. And the surprising index today, the Russell 2000 small caps, actually up 9 points or 40 basis points today. And that could be because we're seeing a big drop in interest rates today, believe it or not. You've got the 10-year down 7 basis points right now to 4.44%. We'll try to figure out why that is in a bit. And last but not least, Bitcoin is also down today. Bitcoin down a couple thousand points, 1843 to be exact, 97,983. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. He's a CFA and a CFP and many other things. lends a lot to the show and to our company every day. We have got the markets off on the back feet today. We had a very good day in the market yesterday. Palantir, stock of the year so far. It was up 25% yesterday. It was the stock I named as my highest conviction pick for 2025 when I visited the NASDAQ several weeks ago, and it certainly had a big day yesterday, as did Spotify. Wow, those two stocks have turned into monster stocks. You know, we follow monster trucks and see, you know, all of these. What are some of the names there? I haven't been for a while with my grandchildren.
You had Bigfoot. Obviously, you had a Bigfoot, the original, right?
And yeah, then Megasaurus.
Well, now they only got bigger from there. So.
Yes, now you know, NVIDIA was the stock of the last couple of years, and now it's turned into Palantir. And Spotify has certainly become a huge player here in the media space, kind of overcoming all odds. I mean, it's almost like trying to get an electric vehicle company to be profitable. It took Elon Musk to do that. And the subscription model of, you know, content.
Of music. And content.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, think about most of the internet, at least initially, right? Early on was pirating music, right? Using the internet as essentially as a, you know, basically a tool for free music. And they've figured out a way over the years to monetize it. And they showed up with their first annual profit, that the company's had in its history. And, you know, those are the catalysts that will kind of, you know, move stocks to, you know, actually has, you know, positive earnings for a year or what have you, and free cash flow. And then, you know, there was a time where Netflix wasn't very profitable either. And then, then they were, right?
When they crossed that line. It should also be noted that gold hit a new all-time high yesterday. It's closing in on 3,000 right now, very quietly. It hit 2,896. And, you know, the tariff story.
In doing so, why the U.S. dollar's gone up. So, I mean, that's always the interesting thing about gold. There's so many cross currents just to, like, you know, if someone was building a gold valuation model, and, you know, usually dollar goes up, it tends to mean, you know, gold usually goes in the opposite direction in this sense that they've been moving in the same direction, which is pretty interesting.
And the tariff thing has moved to the back burner at least for 30 more days, other than China, which obviously is still a problem. China doesn't have to seem to have a whole lot of leverage over us, though. We can get those rare earth minerals from other places. I guess, you know, the companies that are dependent on China are your Home Depots and your Walmarts, etc., for those cheap
Where we're at in the, you know, kind of economic cycle, right? I mean, essentially at this point, China's economy, economic growth, right, at least currently, is what they're, you know, kind of their weak spot. So they don't have, you know, from an economic leverage standpoint, right, they kind of need, you know, some of this growth, right? And they you know, they almost need, you know, American companies to help, you know, inside and help, you know, produce, increase production. So they're in a tight spot. Not as tight as Europe, though. It'll be interesting to see how Europe plays out once that's kind of the next shoe to drop in my mind when it comes to tariffs.
Absolutely. So anyways, you know, the tariff talk is turned to earnings now. That's the headlines. 20,000 federal workers accepted the resignation offer. That's 1% of the federal government workforce. That's a good start, I suppose you could say. No, you know, look, hey, everybody, postal workers, law enforcement employees, etc. But 2,000 did accept that buyout offer. Okay, the private sector employment rose by 183,000, which is pretty good for January. And I'm surprised that interest rates are down. I don't know if it has any reflection on the – this is a pretty hot report, actually. And, of course, this is probably Trump's first report that you can say, well, he had a little bit to do with this. But that's a pretty strong private payroll. Now, we'll get the big non-farm payroll report on Friday.
On Friday, right. And also, I think it has to do, you know, some news came out in terms of Bessent was going to, you know, Treasury Secretary was going to keep kind of the long-term, you know, debt issuance program in place that was already in place. So, in other words, issuance wasn't going to go up, and long-term issuance would have gone up, that would have sent long-term rates higher. In this sense, I think he's going to stay to a similar schedule. You know, there's other things you can do within there to do, you know, other debt raising, but in this sense, you know, basically, you know, not going to be more issuance, which is what the market liked, and I think that's why we've got, you know, down 8 basis points. I mean, we're pretty good. 4.5% right now.
It's too bad we have these weak earnings, but it is showing up in the Russell 2000, which is very interest rate sensitive. It'll be interesting as I go through my charts today, about 1,000, I think, on tap, to see the interest rate sensitive things, the mortgage REITs, et cetera. I'm sure they're having a pretty good day on this big drop in interest rates today. The U.S. trade deficit widens more than expected in December. And it will be interesting to see, you know, if Trump can narrow that deficit. We were at $98 billion in December. That's a big number. That's a big trade deficit. And obviously that's one of the things that gets under President Trump's skin, and one of the things that he's going after to narrow that deficit. We've had earnings, which we'll get to, from Google so far. AMD has reported in, and a few others, Chipotle. Today we're going to get Ford. You know what? I mean, that's not like a big market mover anymore. We've already gotten Disney. I'll be telling you about that one. Qualcomm will come in after the close. Uber has reported. Toyota has also reported tomorrow we'll get Amazon. That will be the big one for tomorrow. And also Lilly. And I did see that Novo Nordisk reported today. So that obviously impacts Lilly. And Novo had some interesting comments people watching Novo Nordisk had some interesting commentary that I want to get to here in a bit. So we've got a lot of earnings to go through today. There's some good news out there on several stocks. And then, of course, the NASDAQ kind of taking it on the chin. AMD, man, that stock has really lost its way for now. And I'm glad I sold it. We sold it quite a while ago, maybe a year ago, something like that. I've been tempted to get back into it, but I'm glad I've resisted that temptation. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I had to laugh. Barry sent me a screenshot of CNBC. Were you watching CNBC trying to get some hot tips?
It was on in the background.
Okay, all right. So
and I saw on the screen. I figured you would like it.
Yeah, it said picks for your portfolio, and they were interviewing some money manager, and he was touting Johnson & Johnson. And that's all I can say, you know, Comcast stock continues to hit new lows. And anyways, I mean, that's just, we celebrate mediocrity, it seems like, in our industry from time to time. I think the majority celebrates.
I kind of felt sorry for him because I'm like, it's got to be hard to tout that one on TV.
You know,
I don't know.
But the listening audience, you know, the listening audience of CNBC, there's a lot of professionals that watch it and everything, but I think there's a lot of just do-it-yourselfers that, you know, don't know any better, just like Seeking Alpha with the high dividend stuff. And if they think they're getting a hot tip in Johnson & Johnson and run out and add that to your portfolio, I mean, that's just kind of the way they work. Now, I'm just going to warn you, Barry, you're headed to the NASDAQ to help ring that close the NASDAQ on Monday. And CNBC is housed. They are in that NASDAQ building. So
right there, huh?
Be careful. I mean, they're looking for us. They're coming after us if they find us. Okay, the first stock I want to talk about today.
I just hope it's not another Manic Monday. I just want it to
be
a quiet,
you never know.
You know, a quiet Monday. We'll see what
happens. The first stock I want to talk about today is a small one doesn't make a lot of news. And it is not headquartered in the USA. It's in Brazil. It's a company that we own in our emerging growth portfolio because it is a very small cap stock. It's only $8.1 billion, which is peanuts in today's, $3.7 trillion world. But Embraer, ERJ, has its niche, okay? And if I'm not mistaken, was not the plane that got hit that went down in Washington D.C.? I think that was an Embraer because that's their niche that they have is those regional airplanes, right? And I want to say it was an Embraer plane. I heard them talking about CRJ.
I believe it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. But the stock, I mean, obviously Embraer had nothing to do with the issue. If anything, it sounds, at the end of the day, it was the helicopter's fault. But we'll still see. But Embraer
Or just an air traffic, or just too much congestion, period. I mean, in terms of, if you think of, of a pilot to tell me it's just, just like a road, essentially, right? And the road seemed crowded.
The other niche that they have is the Embraer executive jets. which includes the Praetor 600, the Praetor 500, the Phenom 3000E models, as well as services and support. They got an order, a pretty good order, a $7 billion order from Flexjet. And I think the way Flexjet works is you can own a share of a of a private jet and share it with other CEOs or company owners or whatever. And you know what? I mean, I see a lot of them at the Charleston airport. I think there's a lot of businessmen flying around the country in their own little private jets or a shared private jet. That's a pretty good little niche to have.
I've seen the pickup at the Mount Pleasant Airport, right? You know, right on the other side of you.
I did not know that small one there. I thought that was only for like little Cessnas and whatnot. So when Embraer stock is breaking out today to a new all-time high, it's up 11.5%. So that puts a smile on my face. You know, we own it in our emerging growth portfolio, which is the smaller companies like this. This is not a Boeing. This is not an Airjet. This is Embraer ADR, and they've been a very successful company over the years. This was a $3 stock in 2020 during COVID, and now it's a $44 stock. So congratulations to Embraer for getting a big order. And they're in a nice little space, really, in the aerospace industry. Okay, one going the other way. We've owned it in the past. We don't own it currently. Workday. A lot of people aren't going to have any more Workdays with Workday. They're headquartered in Pleasanton, California. And our show is heard every weekday on KDAO out there, which has been around a long time. We have a big following in the Bay Area, and maybe someday we'll get back out to the Bay Area. I used to visit there quite often and do some kind of a workshop or something, and we're trying to put something on that. We're trying to put together our road trip calendar.
Road show calendar, right?
Yes, and a lot of people in our company saying, let's go out and see our listeners and clients and followers and live trading subscribers, etc., out in the Bay Area, one of my favorite places to go. My second favorite restaurant in America is the Tadich Grill. I think it's still there. It's been there since the 1890s or something like that, but that's a great place. But Workday is laying off 1,500 people, or 1,750 to streamline their business. And what happens when you lay off people? The stock's up 2.9% today. Workday has kind of been stuck for a while in that 270 area to 300. Can't really get out of there. The growth has slowed a bit, but it's still a high teen, you know, 17, 18% grower on sales, and it's a 20% grower still in earnings. It's a good company. But hasn't had much momentum lately. In fact, if you look at the momentum grade on IBD or MarketSmith, it's 61 on a scale of 1 to 99. And it's not showing up in any of my screens right now, but they're taking action. That's what good companies do. They got to take action to keep cost in line. Now, here's the weird story of the day. Europe is worried about Wegovy and Novo Nordisk because they're not meeting their carbon emissions goals. It takes a little bit of energy to produce the Wegovy compound that the people shoot into their stomach. Are we more worried about the environment or the people that actually have better health, right, by losing weight from Wegovy?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you got to take...
It seems like they should get some kind of carbon credit, right? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, if they're... Put it this way, they should... I wonder if they get credit for the fact that they're reducing appetites. Well, then they're, you know, reducing the amount
of... Well, yeah. I mean, cows
and chickens. They don't like farming already. So.
And the people on Wegovy are releasing less emissions into the atmosphere themselves by losing the weight. We'll be right back. But I must use the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must use the wrong car. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Today's one of those days where, despite the indexes, you've got the Dow down 183, the NASDAQ down 103. They really look better underneath the surface when I look at the individual stocks. The NASDAQ is being influenced heavily by Google and AMD. Those are the two really driving down the NASDAQ. And the Dow is down 182. But underneath the surface, like I say, the small caps are up 30, 40, 56 basis points right now because interest rates are down 8 points. So the market really looks a lot better underneath the surface. Now, I want to dig into Novo Nordisk very quickly here. We had a big position in Novo Nordisk because it's the other competitor. Their weight loss drug is Wegovy, and it competes with Lilly's Zepbound. And we got rid of half of our Novo Nordisk in September of last year when it was up around 130 or so. And then we sold all the remaining one half when it was around 110 or so. Now it's at 87, so we did the right thing, and we have not got back into the stock. I really don't know why it's struggling, although, I mean, they had maybe hit peak earnings in 2024 when they made $22 per share. Then they took a big hit to their earnings for several reasons, but I still think they've got a blockbuster drug with their Wegovy. And this quarter that they reported, their sales were up 22% year over year. They did $11 billion in sales for the quarter. Not all of that was Wegovy. They also are probably the biggest diabetes drug company in the world. And they had a 21% increase in earnings. And I think, like Lilly, they were hurt by the knockoffs, the compounders, which they're still out there. I'm surprised that they're still getting Hims. Away.
Huh? Yeah.
I've watched Hims. I mean, has been Hims a very strong stock. Yeah, and Roe. I think Roe is selling the real thing, though, Zepbound or Wegovy. But there are still compounders out there. Novo Nordisk, the valuation still looks good. I have 96% upside potential. But the momentum is terrible. It's been terrible since last fall. And, you know, I'm glad I sold it, stepped aside. I do think it's one I'd be very interested in getting back into. Maybe this is the turning of the corner today. After reporting earnings, the stock is up 5.1% on two times normal volume, 4.8%. Million shares have changed hands so far. So, yeah, you know what? And I think it qualifies for our dividend portfolio because it pays a dividend of 2.2%. So, I mean, it's a monster company, Danish out of Denmark. And I would be looking to get into it possibly at some point in time. But it lacks momentum big time. It hit a new 52-week low just 2 weeks ago. So we'll see. This could be one that is kind of a bottom fishing candidate at this level on Novo Nordisk. Now, okay, the big one really influencing the market today. We don't have a big position in Alphabet, but we do own it in our dividend portfolio, which isn't as big as our growth portfolios. But we do have Google is one of the 18 or 19 stocks in that dividend portfolio. Alphabet is down 8.4% right now. 8.4%. I think it's still one of the Magnificent Seven. I don't know that those components
subject
change.
Subject to change, right?
Maybe Palantir has replaced it. I don't know, but Alphabet came along with earnings of $2.15. They beat by 2 cents, and their revenue beat by $170 million. And if you look at the percentage, if we put that into percentages, this is pretty good. I mean, for a $2.3 billion company, usually by that time they're upping their dividend and their earnings growth has slowed to single digits, right? Not with Alphabet. Alphabet's sales were up 12%, okay? Now, sequentially, Alphabet's been coming in at about 15% growth in sales, and this was 12%. So I can see why, you know, there's some deceleration there in sales growth. But their earnings growth was 32%. They made $2.13, which compares to $1.61 last year. And Alphabet will be one of those companies that is contributing to the 13% growth we're expecting for the entire quarter in the S&P 500 versus the same quarter last year. And obviously, with Google at 32% growth quarter, comparable quarter over comparable quarter, that's a lot more than the S&P 500. But they obviously, you know, the analysts, they dig into the margins. They dig into YouTube sales, etc. It was a strong quarter driven by AI leadership, which I question. I don't think they are. I think Microsoft is the AI leadership these days. And broad momentum, said CEO Sundar Pichai. In search, advances like AI overviews and Circle, adding that to search, is increasing their user engagement. Their AI-powered Google Cloud portfolio is seeing stronger customer demand. Together, Cloud and YouTube exited 2024 at an annual revenue run rate of $110 billion. But at the end of the day, you know, obviously it was a bit of a disappointment. And that's why you're seeing the stock down 8.5% right now. And it is a big component. I mean, at $2.3 billion, that's a big component. It's not in the Dow. It is in the big component of the NASDAQ and obviously the S&P 500. So, yeah, you know, I'll have to revisit it. Now, let's remember, yesterday, Google hit a new all-time high, and it had lots of momentum. it's not the cheapest stock out there. It has about 75 to 80% upside potential as of yesterday. It pays a dividend, but it is down today off of that new all-time high that it set yesterday. So we'll continue to watch Google. And, you know, we're always checking to see if we need to upgrade that position to another stock out there. But it's pretty hard to not look at Google and say it's one of the powerhouse stocks in the market today. Now, AMD is another case. What is wrong with AMD, Barry?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all
what's
about
your, what's your opinion?
About the, I mean, it's all about the data center. I mean, so if you look at the company, right, the one piece that they, you know, they're still the same AMD they were 3 years ago is probably the right answer.
That's probably it in a nutshell. Well, their data center revenue missed expectations, okay? And, you know, that's not good because that's where the growth is. Citigroup downgraded AMD
stock. That's where NVIDIA
is
destroying the market, right?
Absolutely. And so anyways, I mean, they have really, this is a pretty big downgrade and a pretty big miss by AMD. That stock is down 10% right now. But even worse than that, You know, we sold it quite a while ago. I'm saying at least a year ago, or maybe early last year. I'd have to look at the records here. Let's see, I can probably find that pretty easily. But anyways, we walked away from Google, from AMD. We had huge gains in the stock when we walked away from it. I didn't like the way it was trading. And, you know, along came NVIDIA and Microsoft with the ChatGPT. And all of a sudden, everybody's watching, well, where are you with AI over here at AMD? Where are you with the data center, you know, share? And they really were mostly dependent upon PC sales still. But, you know, having said that, you know, this would be one also that I would be interested in getting back into at some point because the valuation has certainly come down. Their sales were up 24%. Their earnings were up 42%. That's a pretty good quarter. But obviously, it right. did not meet yeah. expectations because the stock is down 10% and hitting a new 52-week low. Let's wait for the momentum to come back and the new products to come back into AMD. We'll be right back. On a winter's day. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And you know what? Like I say, it looks a lot better underneath the surface of the market. We're actually up 27 basis points today. And I'll tell you who's having a good day. NVIDIA's having a good day. It's up 3.2% right now. Vistra's
that's
having a good
that,
day. Yeah, I think
helping offset that Google number in dividend and growth.
I'm wondering if NVIDIA is benefiting from the AMD because they're obviously the one that have eaten AMD's lunch, and of course AMD ate Intel's lunch over the last 10 years, and now NVIDIA has emerged as the new king of the chips. Arista's having a good day. Oklo is up 7.4% today. That's a little powerhouse, that little Oklo. That's been one. If you've been in with us on the 4-week trial, Oklo has come up several times. It started out in the incubator account. I'm the one that, you know, took the chances out there because it was like, you know, this thing is doesn't have any sales or earnings yet. It's a smaller nuclear power plant type of stock that wants to be a big player in that, a wannabe. And eventually I added it to the emerging growth portfolio, and then recently we added it to the ultra growth portfolio just because of this renaissance taking place in the nuclear sector. So Oklo having a very good day today, up 7.4%. So like I say, underneath the surface of the market. Now, unfortunately, from time to time, I've got to go to a soggy stock just to show you what a soggy stock looks like. And I'll bet they spend half the day on CNBC today. Guess what stock they'll be talking about ad nauseum? Disney. Okay, now I would argue, I was thinking about this the other day. We recently went on a Disney cruise out of Port Canaveral, Florida, with a bunch of kids and grandkids. Okay, we had a great time. I would argue that Disney's probably the best brand. I was thinking about this. I grew up in the advertising industry. My father was got his paycheck in his last days of his career from Leo Burnett Advertising, which came up with some of the greatest brands of all time, including Marlboro. I would argue that Disney, that Mickey Mouse logo and that Disney name, I don't care what it's on, okay, you're going to pay a lot more if it has the Disney logo on it. But somewhere along the way, obviously, you can have your own opinions as to why Disney lost its way. An investment in Disney over the last 10 years, you think you're buying this great stock for your grandkids, right? 2.7% per year. That's including the dividend, everything. Average annual return, 2.7. Over the last 10 years, the S&P's averaged 19.5. And don't forget, Disney is a big component of the Dow. So it hasn't helped the Dow any, and it's helped the Dow be quite a big laggard compared to the NASDAQ and to the S&P 500. You know, the Dow has tried to get a little more creative in recent years. They kicked CVS out finally and put Amazon in. They kicked Intel out and put NVIDIA in. But I would argue that there's still several very soggy stocks. Disney would be one of them. I would replace Disney with Netflix. There's your leisure company, your leisure streaming killer in today's world. Over the last 5 years, an investment in Disney has lost 4% per year. Now, Barry, how many of these...
Remember, you spoke... Who was it you spoke into the Dow? Was it AMD? No, I know. Amazon,
yeah.
I believe. They got rid of Walgreens.
Yeah, right? Walgreens. That was it. They kicked Walgreens out, which is now nearing bankruptcy. They replaced it with, finally, Amazon, which I had been talking about for years. Disney. And how many pension funds, IRAs, Roths, mutual funds own Disney? Oh, man, you got to own Disney. How can you not own Disney with that brand? Well, they've taken a big brand, probably the best brand of all time, and tarnished it. Over the last 3 years, an investment in Disney down 6.4% per year. That's right. And over the last 12 months, it has done a little better. It's up 17%, but the S&P's up 22%. It gets a D-minus performance grade. The valuation is not very compelling at all. In fact, if I look at my current five-year valuation on Disney, now these are the things underneath the surface that the average person doesn't realize. They think when they're buying Disney shares, they're getting a piece of that ticket price and a piece of how much all those souvenirs cost and how much a corn dog cost and a special place in line at Disney and all the blockbuster movies they come out with. Well, you may be getting a piece of it, but it's not very good because look at how the stock has performed. I have my five-year target price, $162. That gives it 47% upside potential over the next 5 years, and a value grade of F. F. I require 80% or more upside potential. We've got about 2,000 listeners running to the phone right now to scream at their broker for owning Disney for the last 10 years. No, I don't know. I'm just giving you the facts. I'm giving you the numbers, and boy, I used up all my time on Disney, but I'm glad I did because it's a perfect example. You got to put it in the same category as Johnson & Johnson, Kimberly-Clark, Procter & Gamble. Disney is definitely soggy, a stodgy old growth giant of yesteryear, and it's really kind of pathetic when you think about the strength of their brand. And the kids,
not even Iger could save
Disney,
it again. No.
And the stock is not performing near to the potential that brand has worldwide, a worldwide brand, and lousy performance as a stock. That's really kind of pitiful, really, when you think about it. Okay, well, we're out of time. We call the show Best Stocks Now. Not the ones you might think are the best stocks now. Maybe they were at one time, but time has passed them by, or management has made a lot of missteps along the way. Get 4 free weeks of the live trading. Learn a lot about the market in those 4 weeks. That's intense. In those messages I send out, go to GundersonCapital.com. Talk to us about managing your portfolio. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.